reading is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or some other prophet." Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
It's good to see each and every one of you. And certainly, if you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. We're thankful that you've had safe travel. And if you have any questions at any time, certainly we would be open to those. We certainly want to do everything in spirit and in truth, and want to do everything based off of what the Bible reads and has told us. We're so thankful for all the people that support different works and initiatives here at Sandyville. Certainly, we have the fruit baskets that were prepared yesterday by many individuals. We had a fantastic turnout. Many individuals involved in that, either through donation or their support by being there. We had a lot of young people. We had a little table put together that they were putting bags together, and they were decorating them. It was very good to see all those kind of younger people. We're kind of, you know, as the congregation grows, they go through different phases, but we kind of are really rich right here in this area with our younger ones, which I don't mind when they give me a challenge when I'm preaching, because usually it's coming from my kids, so never worry about that. So we are just thankful, and there's been those baskets that have been prepared, so certainly if you can hang around for a few moments, I'm sure we'll try to get those distributed as quickly as we can. The question for this morning is, can you forgive? You know, in the Bible class this morning, we kind of got into 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the idea of giving. And Brother Brent kind of brought up the idea that perhaps as we grow in faith, perhaps our giving increases. And you know, I think that goes along with a lot of Christian attributes in Christian areas. I think as we grow and we mature in the faith, we get stronger in certain areas. Maybe when we started as a Christian, we weren't perhaps as strong in this area, but as we grow and as we mature in the faith, we get stronger in these areas. I think giving is one of those, and I think perhaps forgiving is another. When I think about forgiving, the question is can you forgive? And I want to think about that. I want to think about it from God's perspective. I want us to think about it from our perspective, and I want to think about when forgiveness really goes wrong. You know, do we err in this area of forgiveness? Are we forgiving in the way that God intended? Certainly, Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 offers some very sobering words there that I think will set us up as we are thinking about forgiveness and can I forgive as perhaps God has forgiven me. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says this. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There's certainly, I think, established here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, the idea that a Christian needs to be able to forgive. Of course, these are the words of Jesus, really setting up a principle and idea. Are we a forgiving people? Do we forgive the way that we should when it comes to our lives? But some sobering words there. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I want to think a little bit about forgiveness this morning, and first, I think we should think about it from God's perspective. In thinking about God and how God forgives, and really God's mentality really towards man. You know, there are many places that we can go to really understand God and His perspective towards man, and really see where God's heart is, per se. You know that God desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. God desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And also in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we see that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us that all should come to repentance. God wants to save. God wants individuals to repent. I think God wants to forgive. And God has really paved the way that we can have peace with God. Because when we think about it, we have some things that would separate us from God, and that is sin. And we can be forgiven of that. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it talks about the idea of sin being a transgression of the law. When we sin, we break God's law. And when we break God's law, when we're standing before the judge, and the judge is going to give the sentence on the law breaking that has taken place, we realize that we're in a hard spot when we recognize that we are sinners, that we have fallen short, we have broken God's law, and we need that problem to be taken care of. Because we know the penalty for sin. We know what a just judge will do if that law breaking is on the book. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death. The penalty for breaking the law is death, a spiritual separation from God for eternity. You know, God, I believe, wants to forgive. And there are some things that God looks for from man. I think God does look for us to repent. And I think we can see this throughout the scriptures, is that God wants us to change our minds about our law breaking in relation to God's law, and do our best moving forward to not break that law. But God's looking for us to repent, truly repent. A lot of individuals will speak a good game, but they're not really cut to the heart the way they should, that it changes their actions and it changes their conduct. In Psalm 51 and verse 17, the Bible says this. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You know, God is looking for repentance. He is looking for us to change, but God keeps that door open. He wants all to be saved, all to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants all to come to repentance. God wants to forgive all, and God certainly sent His Son so we could have that opportunity. God is looking for repentance. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Bible says, this time of ignorance God overlooked, and now commands all men everywhere to repent. To repent, to change our mind, to do right. Forgiveness is accessible to all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of God is accessible to all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We think of Acts chapter 20, verse 28, speaking to the elders there, says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. Jesus came to this world, lived a perfect life, so He could die that sacrifice for us to offer us a safe place. A place where we can stand forgiven of our law breaking. Of course, repentance is needed. Of course, we see the pattern of the New Testament, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, be baptized. We see that that takes place is the church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23, we see that the church and the body are the same thing. He said, I gave you the head over all things to the church, which is the body. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. As we continue on in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it says there's one body. There's one body, there's one church, there's one blood-bought institution, where if you are a part of that, we have forgiveness of sin. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it just kind of flows throughout the book of Ephesians. We see that the church and the body are the same thing in chapter 1. In chapter 4, there's one body, there's one church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says Jesus is the Savior of the body. Jesus is the Savior of the church. And when we are added to the church, when we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we are in Christ. We are in the church of Christ. And you know what? Forgiveness is there. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the richness of His grace. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Wait, where is the forgiveness of sins? It's in Christ. And how do we get into Christ? We are baptized. And when you go throughout the scriptures, you see this idea of in. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that salvation is in Christ. There should be a question that everyone who is outside of Christ should be asking, and even us that are inside of Christ should be asking, how do we get inside of Christ? Because in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says the forgiveness of sins is in Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, it says salvation is in Christ. Everyone should be asking the question, how do I get into Christ? And I think the Bible gives us that answer, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." The church, purchased by Christ's blood, is the safe place for humans. We're added to the church, the blood-bought institution, and there is forgiveness of sin. What a blessing that is. We see on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter wraps up his preaching. These individuals are cut to the heart. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." I think we see a pattern throughout the New Testament of individuals going from outside the Lord's body to inside the Lord's body. And that is where forgiveness is. And you know what? God died so that the church could be established. He died so that there could be a safe place where we could have peace with God, so that when judgment comes, our record is wiped clean, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done with that blood-bought institution, and we just be obeying what God has asked us to do. And then once we're Christians, we need to walk in the light, as it says in 1 John chapter 1. We need to confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. But 1 John is talking to Christians. Become a Christian. Be added to the church, where forgiveness of sins is, where there's no condemnation, where salvation is. God died so you could have that opportunity, so that you could be forgiven of your sins. And when I look at that and I think about that, to what length God went to so that He could forgive? What length God went to sending His Son so that we could have forgiveness? And I think as we start to think about that in our lives, what length do I go to forgive someone else? What length do I go to forgive someone else? Jesus, when you think about God and Jesus, you think about Jesus, the Son of God, God went to great lengths so He could forgive mankind. Went to great lengths so a path could be paved for forgiveness. And really, Jesus modeled forgiveness throughout His life. The atrocities that were done to Jesus throughout His life, Jesus was always looking for, how can I forgive? In fact, one of those occasions I think of is Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. It says, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." God is open to forgiveness. We understand that repentance is there, but God is open to forgiveness. God has paved the road. God has done everything in His power that forgiveness is there for anyone who wants to pursue it. But do we go to the same length in our lives to forgive others? Because God did so much that the path of forgiveness could be paved, that God does have some expectation for you, particularly as a New Testament Christian. A lot of people in the religious world don't like to think about that anymore. What? I have responsibilities, I have duties, I have obligations because I'm a Christian? I believe so. We have obligations being followers of the Lord. Jesus, who gave His life for us, we have obligations, responsibilities, expectations. And you know that God has an expectation for you, that you will be a forgiving person. You understand that understanding what God has done for us, understanding God's grace and God's forgiveness should change us on a deep and meaningful way. It should change our conduct. It should change the way that we live our lives. I think that's the idea that we get in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." God's grace, what God did for us, should teach us something. It should teach us to live a better life. We'll live a better life how? Well, start reading the New Testament. All areas of your life are really described. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And when we become New Testament Christians, understanding what God did for us, giving His life as a sacrifice for us, so that we could be forgiven, God does have some expectation for us. And Him offering Himself in such a manner should teach us something. I think many times people don't get the lesson. Let's read that again. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." We're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about the forgiveness of God. We're really talking about the love of God. That should teach you something. What should it teach us? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And part of that, I believe, is having a forgiving heart. Is that God has forgiven us. God has wiped our slate clean, and that when we go into the world and we have interactions with the world and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, what type of attitude does God want us to have? Does God want you to be more forgiving or less forgiving? Does He want you to forgive, or does He want you to hold grudges to the point that you can't hardly look at somebody, that you can't hardly talk to that person? I think God tries to take us to be a more forgiving people, a more understanding people. It doesn't mean that we don't stand for the truth. But I think we do understand that we are working with individuals, even among our brothers and sisters in Christ, that are going to wrong us on occasion. And we are perhaps even going to wrong them on occasion. And having the heart and the mindset of forgiveness goes a long way. You know, there's a general idea in Luke chapter 7, verse 47 that I think is interesting. Luke chapter 7, verse 47, it says, "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." I think there's like a general principle there. If you've been forgiven of much, perhaps you love much. If you've been forgiven of little, perhaps you love little. And when it comes to us spiritually, I think that we all should at least be able to acknowledge that God has forgiven us of a great debt. And if God has forgiven us of a great debt, that should affect our attitude and our thinking when we're dealing with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also when we're dealing with individuals in the world. Do we have grace? Do we have forgiveness? Do we have understanding in our heart? Are we just looking for somebody to wrong us in some little way so we can hold it against them for the rest of their lives? And you know what it does? It shuts down evangelism, it shuts down the love of God, and it shuts down what God wants us to accomplish on this plane of physical life. That's all we've got in it. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." I don't view myself that way. I don't view that I have been forgiven of something little. I have been forgiven of the death penalty for eternity. That's what I've been forgiven of. I have been forgiven of the death penalty for eternity. I have been forgiven of a debt that I can never pay. No matter how long I worked, no matter what I did, I could not repay it. The fine is too high. I have been forgiven of much. And if I have been forgiven of much, I should love much. And I think that's the idea that the Bible tries to teach. God has forgiven us. How are we going to handle forgiveness in our lives? And you know what? God has an expectation for His people that we forgive. How many grudges are you holding that should have been dropped a long time ago? See, unfortunately, many times we don't follow the Bible pattern. You know, it talks about when brothers and sisters in Christ have an issue with one another, that they're kind of supposed to go and approach them. And I believe many times this would clear up about 90% of the problems that happen in the church sometimes, because I think this person has wronged me, but I'm not going to talk to them about it. I'm just going to hold it here, and I'm going to let it fester and fester instead of talking to them. And you know what, if I talk to them and say, hey, you said this or you did this, and it kind of bothered me a little bit, you know what that person would probably say? I had no idea. I apologize. I had no idea. That's how you would take that. I did not know that. And I'm glad that you told me, because I'm going to try to make it right. But many times, we keep it in secret. This person did this to me. This person did this to me. I'm not going to try to talk to them. You know what? It festers. We have these grudges that are held, that should not be held, that can be cleaned up very quickly. But do we have a heart of forgiveness? Do we look for forgiveness? Do we try to make sure that we're doing things in the way that God would want us to do it? God expects us to forgive. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says this. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. God has an expectation that we forgive one another. And we see this throughout the Bible. This is not just a one or two verse issue in the Bible. We have a consistent pattern of the forgiveness that Christians should carry with them. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see a pattern throughout the New Testament. Forgive, 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 forgive. Are we forgiving people? Do you have more grudges to your name than you have forgiveness? A lot of times we will nitpick little things that will get in the way of the church really functioning the way that it should, because we are more concerned about personal things that have happened against us, and we will not let them go. And I think God's trying to tell us, let them go. Forgive. Now, Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, it says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. And your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. You know, I think love is connected to forgiveness. And certainly, we have been commanded to love. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus speaking, he says, a new command I give you. A new command I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. How do you treat those that have wronged you? How do you treat those that have wronged you? You know, an example that is always challenging to live up to is the example of Jesus Christ. How do you handle those that have wronged you? Do you seek revenge? Do you seek to try to hit back? Do you hold it and try to get back at a later date? Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. It says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor had deceit, nor was deceit found in his mouth. For when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. When Jesus took a hit, Jesus did not immediately go, I need to hit back. And unfortunately, so many times, humans do not handle things that way. And a lot of times, when somebody hits us, not only can we not restrain ourselves and not hit back, but a lot of times we hit back harder. And it destroys relationships. Nothing will destroy a relationship faster than a relationship like that. Someone says something negative, well, I'm going to say something a little bit more negative. And then I'm going to say something a little bit more negative, and I'm going to say something a little bit more negative. Somebody's going to have to end the cycle. And many times that cycle has to end with forgiveness. With that mentality and that heart. And I know repentance is needed. I understand that. Repentance is needed in that process for it to really make headway. But you look at it, you look at Jesus, he was attacked, he was reviled, he did not revile back. He was whipped, he did not whip back. He was spat upon, he did not spit back. We must have a heart of forgiveness, a heart of grace, a heart of understanding, and this will make the church certainly function better. Will we accomplish more of the work of the church if we handle our relationships as Jesus did, with a forgiving and loving heart? I think of the golden rule. There's sometimes many people in the world, the Bible knowledge has just went to such a low point that many times people will reference the golden rule and they won't even know where it's from. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets." The golden rule is the Bible rule. It is the Bible rule. And when we live it and we think about it in terms of forgiveness, I think we're in a better spot. What if everyone forgave like you? What if everyone could drop the grudges like you? Will we have a better world? Or will we be in a worse place? You know, I think about that standard. I want other people to treat me in relation to forgiveness the way that, you know, I treat them. You know, you think of the golden rule. I don't know about you, but I make mistakes. And I think about it this way, and some people might not like this example, because you might struggle with this example. But you know what? Every once in a while, somebody cut me off on the road. But you know what I thought? If I ever cut somebody off on the road before, I have. It wasn't intentional. Maybe I wasn't thinking. Maybe my mind was in another place. I kind of have that daydreaming thing. I don't know about you. You know, you drive for, over 15 minutes and your mind goes someplace and you're just not really focused the way that you should. You know, I've cut some people off before. I've had people cut me off before. I saw some massive fight break out over cutting somebody off. You know, when somebody cuts me off, I'm like, you know what? They probably didn't get any sleep last night. Probably one of their babies was up all night long. You know what I mean? I've been there. They probably just having a bad day. You know? They probably didn't mean to do that. Do you treat others the way that you want to be treated? I have some bad days sometimes. I make some mistakes. And you know what? I hope some people have some grace, some understanding, and some forgiveness in their heart where they're like, you know what? Kyle's just probably having a bad day. You know, Kyle's probably just going through a little hard spot in his life. He probably didn't mean to say that quite the way that he said it. You know, that forgiving and merciful type of attitude. And I think that's what God's looking for in us. We need forgiveness so desperately in this world. And as Christians, we should really understand forgiveness better than the world in many respects, because we should understand what God has forgiven us of. And if we need forgiveness, then maybe we should be giving it as well when we go out to this world. We need forgiveness. We understand this as Christians. We need forgiveness desperately, but do we give it to the world that's around us? Do we give it to our families? Do we give it to those that are around us? So many times, we cannot see our flaws the way that we should be able to see our flaws. Oh, we're very good at spotting all the flaws of someone else. I can see how this person's messing up here, here, and here, and here. But many times, we cannot see the flaws of ourselves the way that we should. Even a man after God's own heart couldn't see his flaws sometimes. I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 12. Remember King David, a man after God's own heart? King David spotted this woman. She was beautiful in his eyes, made many mistakes in the process, but he had an affair. He had an affair, and this woman was married. She was married to Uriah the Hittite, a faithful warrior of David. And David goes through a series of things to try to cover this up. And I think David might have thought he'd got away with this. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the prophet Nathan comes to David and he tells him a story. He tells him a story about a visitor that came to town, and this rich man, he did not take a lamb from his own flock. He took this lamb from this individual over here, and really he only had this one lamb, and this lamb was precious. Instead of taking from his own flock, the rich individual reaches over and takes this only precious lamb from this other individual. When David hears this story in 2 Samuel chapter 12, he is furious. In fact, when he starts to describe it, he says this individual needs to be punished. And he says this individual showed no pity. He says this individual needs to be punished. You know, Nathan kind of hits him with a curveball and he says, David, you are the man. You are the man. You're the man that's basically done this. With Uriah and his wife. Now you think about that. We have David, overall a very faithful individual, but certainly he made some mistakes. Some big mistakes. But it's almost like David could not see his flaw until it was put into like a story form, and then Nathan's like, you might not realize it, but you're in this story. You're actually the individual that stole this lamb and did this atrocity, which you're saying this individual should be punished, and this individual showed no pity. And of course, as that unfolds, that account in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see that David repents. And he says, I have sinned. When it comes to forgiveness in your life, is it possible that sometimes you have trouble seeing where you should be forgiving, but you're not? Is it possible that you're perhaps doing things in relation to your forgiveness that you shouldn't be doing, but you just can't see it? What I'd like to do is take our remaining time and look at Matthew chapter 18. Because once again, we have a parable or we have a story. And the question is, can you find yourself in the story? Can you find yourself in the story? Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and following. And we can see very clearly that the topic is forgiveness. And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle his accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which would be a less amount. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved, very grieved. And they came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. You know, we have another story, and sometimes we struggle finding ourselves in the story. Where are you in the story? And I think we understand the parable that the master is God. We are that servant that owes that great, great debt that we cannot repay. And we have been forgiven of that. And then the question is, how are we going to conduct ourselves moving forward with forgiveness? How can we be forgiven of so much but yet forgive so little? How can we be forgiven of a fine that we could never repay? How can we be forgiven of the death penalty, but when it comes to our own lives, we cannot forgive the tiniest of things? In Matthew chapter 7, it talks about judging, and many times this is brought up in the idea that we can't judge, and I think it's a mistake. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, it says this. It says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, we don't have time to dig entirely into the passage, but what is really being talked about here in Matthew chapter 7 is hypocritical judging. I'm going to tell you to stop drinking, but I'm over here and I'm drinking a tub. There's many places in the Bible where it talks about us having to do some judging. Now, we're not going to be able to do the everlasting judgment. God can certainly do that, and we will not have a place in that matter. But when it comes to choices and decisions and making judgment calls in our lives, certainly we can do that. In John chapter 7 and verse 24, it says that we should judge righteous judgment. We should not judge by the appearance of things. We should dig in and make sure we understand it, and we can judge righteous judgment. John chapter 7, verse 24. It talks about judging false teachers by their fruit. How are we going to tell what's right and wrong in this life? We're going to have to test some things out. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, it says, "By their fruit you will know them." We have to make some judgment calls. But Matthew chapter 7, there's an idea there. It says, "And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." I think that that's an idea that certainly we should think about at least for a moment. What measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Are you a very forgiving person? Perhaps you will receive a lot of forgiveness. Perhaps you are someone who holds a lot of grudges. Perhaps a lot of grudges will be held against you. There's a principle there that I think we find throughout the Bible. God has forgiven us much. We should forgive much. But if we're not forgiving much, we better be careful. We better be very careful. You say, "Well, Kyle, I don't see why I need to be careful." Well, let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 again. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And actually, just look right here at the end of Matthew chapter 18. After we have this story unfold of the unforgiving servant, look at verses 34 and 35 in Matthew chapter 18. It says, "And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him." Verse 35, it says, "So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." There's a lesson here. Be a person who wants to forgive. Be a person who's looking to forgive and not hold grudges. Do we apply the golden rule the way that it should be in relation to forgiveness? If there's more forgiveness in this world, I think we'll be in a better place. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, it says, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." We don't overcome evil by holding grudges and trying to get revenge. We overcome evil by forgiveness and seeking to do the good. You understand that you will stand before the judge. The judge that through his Son has forgiven you of great things. The judgment day is coming. You all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You all need mercy, grace, forgiveness, and pardon. God wants us to be a forgiving people. Are there some people that you need to forgive? What a blessing it is that God, to the man, that God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man who is forgiven. But if we want to be God's forgiven people, perhaps we need to offer some forgiveness as we go out into the world as well. You do not want to be separated from God. And sin will separate you from God. Do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? We see the pattern of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized for the remission of sin. We have a question for you. Why are you waiting? Or Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian and have your sins washed away. We'd love to help you in any way we can if you come as we stand as we sing.